This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson, my intellectual property lawyers. I'm so happy today. I have a wonderful guest on. One of the things I'm always looking for are agents who are open, are ready to accept queries. So I'm so happy to welcome to the program today John Cusick, who is with Folio. Hi, John.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Oh, great. Well, it's so good to talk to you. You know, one of the things that really I enjoy so much about doing this program, first, I get to talk to so many best-selling authors, which is always just fantastic. So when I talk to somebody like Mary Higgins Clark, it just gives me a thrill. But one of the things I really enjoy is finding new writers who are just starting out. Last Tuesday, I had a new writer, Nikki Drayden, who just got her first book deal, and she's young and excited. And she told me that she almost fainted when she finally got through to an agent. So agents are such a important part in a writer's life, and you do so much to help get authors out there. And so I think you just have like one of the best jobs. You get paid to read.
It's true. I absolutely love being an agent. I got into the business sort of by accident. I knew I wanted to work in publishing when I got my start. And the first job I got happened to be an intern, sort of a personal assistant for a kids book agent. And I realized pretty quickly that this was one of the best jobs in the world. So I absolutely love it.
Well, it just, I have like the perfect job here. I get to talk to everybody, but you get also to just read the book. And then when you find, when you find somebody and you can help them start their career, it must be very fulfilling for you.
It really is. I think, the book business is a business like any other, and it has its ups and downs and stresses and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's a great feeling to know that you are working with creative people and helping to sort of build their career and readership. And you mentioned that young author who almost fainted when she got the call from the agent. I mean, one of my favorite things in the world to do is to be able to call one of my authors and say, oh, we've got an offer on hand. We've got a publisher who's really interested. And they know that their book is going to sell and that it's going to be out there in the world. I mean, that's a really wonderful moment.
Oh, it is. It's so exciting for them. And when you, of course, it's a process. Now, of course, Folio is a major agency, and I know that they get thousands of queries. How many queries a day do you get yourself?
I get between 15 to 30 queries a day, and that's, 7 days a week. So it's a pretty large number.
And it's a daunting task just to read them.
Yeah, it certainly is. And because the fact of the matter is there are just so many writers out there who want to be published, who want to make a career out of it. I think especially, since the advent of books like Twilight and Harry Potter, the kids' book world is something that's on a lot of writers' radar for the first time in the past few years. So, it is an incredibly competitive atmosphere, certainly.
Oh, it is a big market. And, sometimes people don't understand that they're not, it's just because they're for young people, they're not less brilliantly written. they have to still be well written, and the children can, you know, sniff out bad books so fast, and they just won't go for it. So when they find an author, well, like when they found J.K. Rowling, that was it. You know, everything just was like magic after that.
Oh, it's absolutely true. I mean, the writing in YA or young adult, you know, which refers to books for teens and middle grade, which is sort of that age range from, you know, about 8 or 9 up through about 12. You know, these books are at times incredibly complex and tackling very mature issues, very big real world issues. So it's certainly not a place where the writing is any less complicated or nuanced than, say, in the adult world.
Exactly. Now, you know, thinking of reading 200 queries, most people, when they write a query, I mean, they've worked pretty hard on that query. I mean, if they know what you know, if they know what they're doing, because you know, I'm sure you can spot the ones who haven't put any work into it, and those get you know dumped immediately. But so many authors do spend a great deal of time. Can you tell when an author is just from the query letter? Can you tell that they're talented?
I mean, you know, I would say when I'm reading a query, there's a couple of things that I'm looking for. Obviously, you know, is it a professionally written query? You know, is the writing right there in that query letter is sort of coherent and professional? Did they follow the submission guidelines? You know, that's sort of the first thing that I'm going to notice. And the second thing I'm going to see is sort of the concept of the book that they are pitching me. You know, one of the realities of the kids' book market is oftentimes very concept-driven. You know, publishers only have so many slots on their list. So each book really has to earn its place on that list by being unique in some way. So, you know, I'm reading to see, okay, is the idea they're pitching me something that I think I can sell based, you know, purely on that idea? Is it original? Does it sound compelling? Are there high stakes? You know, and that's the same holds true for a, you know, really beautiful literary coming of age or a romance or a sci-fi adventure. You know, that rubric is still true, no matter the genre. And then if the concept sounds, you know, like something that's really exciting and compelling, you know, I'll go on to the sample pages and see, okay, and is this person, you know, is there craft, is there line level writing polished enough? Is it something that I can really work with? So those are the sort of three things in that order that I'm reviewing when I look at a query.
Now, you know, I know that you published some books yourself, and I love the title of one of them, Cherry Money Baby. and you know, just briefly tell us a little bit about this, because this is a funny book.
So Cherry Money Baby is the second book that I wrote. It came out in 2013. It's a young adult novel. And excuse me. The genesis of this book was my agent at the time said, you know, we haven't seen a lot of books about, you know, really looking at teen pregnancy. I think he was thinking of the movie Juno. And he said, you know, where are the YA novels about this idea? And I sort of started to think about that, and I thought, well, that's an interesting concept to me, but I wouldn't just want to write a book about a girl who is basically Juno. I didn't want to do that same story all over again. So I started to imagine this girl from a, you know, low-income neighborhood, sort of a blue-collar family, very reminiscent of where I grew up. And what if she was offered basically an escape from her life? By being a surrogate womb, essentially, by being paid to get pregnant for, say, a celebrity. And the idea just sort of evolved from there. And it was really, I mean, it was great fun to write. Cherry was a really fun character to inhabit because she's very scrappy and really knows what she wants and has a, you know, swears like a trucker, which is certainly true of me in my off moments and sort of the culture I grew up in. So, I mean, she was a lot of fun to write.
So, of course, for that, you didn't have to write a query. You already had an agent, which was great. So you did you ever have to go through that process of writing a query letter yourself?
I mean,
you just sort of eased into it.
Well, I sent out a lot of short stories when I was in college, and I had a few novels that, you know, will never see the light of day because they weren't any good, that I sent around to agents. You know, I got a lot of form responses, a ton of just no responses. I had one situation where an agent who I now know in publishing very kindly wrote back to me with some notes, which were very helpful. So I certainly know that process. You know, the other part of my job is that when I take on a project after working on it with the author, you know, I'm sending it to publishers, sending it to editors that I think would be a great fit for this particular novel. And so I sort of am writing my own version of a query letter in that instance. You know, it's sort of a submission letter. It's a pitch and describing the author and the project and why, you know, I think that this is a perfect book for this editor and this imprint. So, you know, I definitely did my share of query letter writing when I was younger, and now it's sort of evolved into a different form of query letter writing, you know, at the editor level.
And so the process is once the submission is what, 2,500 words?
That's so what for, you... for, yeah, for my queries, I asked for about 2,500 words for a sample of the writing, yeah.
Okay, so once you read that and you like it, what do? You call the person?
Well, usually at that stage, I would email and say, oh, you know, thank you so much for your query. I consider all my queries over email, so I'm always getting these in email form. So I would reply to that email, say, you know, thank you so much for sending me your query. This looks really interesting. You know, I'd love to read the full manuscript. Could you email it to me? And so folks will email me their full manuscript, you know, as a Word document or whatnot. Sometimes I print them out. Oftentimes I read them on an e-reader. And then considering the full novel, that's when I'm making that decision, you know, is this the project I want to represent? You know, I start to look into the author, investigate them a little bit. I start to think about, okay, is this a person that I think I can work with and do good things for? You know, and if all those tumblers align, you know, that's when I would say to the author, oh, you know, I'd love to get on the phone. And once we're on the phone, I'm usually ready to offer representation right there.
Now, back to the query letter for a moment. Do you like that when people should put the number of words that are in the book?
Yeah, I think that's important. You know, I get asked a lot, okay, what is too long, what is too short? And the reality is that it really varies. It depends on the book. You know, there are young adult novels that are over 100,000 words, and there are ones that are only 20,000 words. And the same goes for books for younger people. So there really is no hard and fast answer to that question. You know, what I would say is if I get a novel that, you know, about growing up in a small town, and it's 175,000 words, that's when I get a little bit worried. I start to think, okay, because every single, you know, that's a really long book. You know, we're talking 600 pages or more. Which is unusually long for a young adult novel, and if it's not, you know, a sci-fi or a fantasy, something very, very plot-driven, I would start to wonder, you know, is this read a page-turner? Is it compelling and deep all the way through, or is it maybe something the author needs to trim or turn into two separate books, etc.?
And so then once you've read the full book and you take on a client, that's when your hard work starts.
Very true, yeah. So, now, I'm what's referred to as an editorial agent, meaning that once I sign on a client, I edit their work with them. I offer them notes. We do a couple of revisions before I send to publishers. You know, as we were talking about before, it's a really competitive market. You know, publishers only have so many slots on their list that they can fill. So I really want to make sure that manuscript is as polished and as close to perfect as we can get it before we send it out. Not every agent works that way, and I wouldn't say one method is better than another. Some agents, their style is to not do editorial work before sending out. But me personally, I tend to roll my sleeves up and work with the author as much as we can before we start submitting to editors.
Well, which is I think a great thing, because the publishing houses just don't have the staff anymore that they used to have in the old days to fix scripts, books. So, you know, you have to have it almost perfect by the time it gets to the publishing house.
Yeah, I think that that's true. I think that, you know, in days gone by, an editor could see, you know, a proposal or a very rough manuscript and sort of have the power to take it on themselves and really develop it and to sort of just say to the rest of their company, just trust me, it's going to be great. And because of the way the market has changed, you know, editors don't necessarily have that time or that luxury these days. You know, when an editor sees a submission from me, if they love it, they then have to share it with their editorial board. They go to what's called an acquisitions meeting where they talk about it with their publisher and their sales and marketing force. So really, the editor takes over as the advocate for that book at that moment, you know, telling their company, this is a great investment. This book's going to do really well. You know, we should really buy it. And so that's why that book and that manuscript needs to be really polished, because they need to be able to share it with a bunch of other people in-house and have them see that this is going to be something great.
Now, do most authors, are they giving advances anymore? I'm not sure if they're still doing advances like the... I know that in the old days, it was much easier to get an advance.
Well, so now I can only speak to the kids' book world.
World, yeah.
For the most part. But, you know, the big five houses, places like Simon & Schuster, HarperCollins, Penguin Random House, and certainly, you know, mid-sized houses like, you know, Abrams, Candlewick, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, what have you, all of those publishers give advances pretty much always give advances. I mean, that's pretty standard. In a standard trade book contract, you would get an advance up front.
And it depends on what they think is going to be the sales.
Well, so what you mean? What advance they offer?
Yeah.
It depends on a number of factors. Basically, what an editor and a publisher are doing when they are thinking about what they can spend on a book, they're trying to project, you know, how commercially successful do we think this book is going to be? They use what are called comp titles. So they might say, oh, well, we think this book is really going to appeal to people who loved, you know, Looking for Alaska, you know, some of John Green's novels. And so they say, okay, look at how those books did. If we think this book is going to do, you know, even half as well, you know, we think we can offer a higher advance. If it's a competitive situation where many editors at different publishing houses are interested, the advances get a lot higher, you know, because often editors are competing with each other. So that
and then it's an auction
for that reason.
An auction exactly. Type of thing.
Yes, exactly. It can go to an auction where editors are actually bidding against each other in sort of the blind bid situation. And that's where advances can also get, you know, higher, much higher.
Oh, those must be fun.
They are. They're really exciting and really terrifying at the same time. I think it's probably, it can be stressful for agents. I'm sure it is extremely stressful for editors, especially when they really want something. And I think it can be sort of a wonderful nightmare for the author, because it's all up in the air. It's very exciting, but you don't know how it's going to, you know, play out in the end. It's usually relatively fast paced. So those are the fun days.
Now you have some great books coming out. I was going to ask you particularly about one. I'm not sure if it came out yet. Miles in the Infinity Sound Box.
I think you're referring to something that was retitled. That's actually called Cure for the Common Universe.
Okay.
By Christian Heidegger, and that book just came out last week. It's really fantastic. It's a project I'm super excited about. It's about this young guy who is a self-confessed video game addict, and he gets shipped off to video game rehab by his parents, who are just sick of him being in the basement all day. And it's, you know, full of some really fantastic characters. It's very funny, but also has a lot of heart. And what's sort of really exciting to me about a book like this is that I think that, you know, it is funny and it is fun to read. But at the same time, it's got a really important message about how, I think, you know, guys relate to girls, about gender politics, You know, I think in the video game world, you know, your character is racing to save the princess, and if he saves her, he gets her. And what Miles, the main character, really has to understand in this book is that, you know, girls are not prizes, and they're not helpless. And that's obviously a very reduced and simplified description of what the book sort of examines. But it's got a really important message for young guys and young girls, for readers of all gender identities. So, you know, that's something I find to be really exciting.
And it also touches on a problem that is a real problem. I happen to know somebody whose son is addicted to video games, and so it also strikes up on a subject that's very relevant.
Yeah, you know, Christian, the author, I think, is really interested in media and technology and how they affect our lives. So, you know, even though he's writing these sort of fun and fantastical books for young people, you know, just like we were saying at the top of the hour, you know, these books are examining some really big issues and really digging their heels in, which I think, you know, I find to be all the more exciting.
So that must have been fun for you to work with on this one from the editorial point of view.
It really was. You know, Christian and I started working together a few years ago, and he came to me with this book, and I thought it was just so fun. And really, the first thing that grabbed me was the voice of the main character. You know, he's a funny guy. He's very self-aware. He sort of pokes fun at himself, and he kind of thinks of himself as a nice guy. But as you read the book, you realize that he is flawed, just like all of us, that he's got some internal stuff that he really needs to work on. And so, you know, that makes him, I think, all the more interesting to read. You know, you're excited to spend the course of this book with him because he's so funny. But, you know, he's not perfect, and he's got a long way to go before he's going to really be a mature young person.
Well, I think the title change is great, because primarily because of the idea of the video game, somebody obsessed with video games. I was interested in the book, but I didn't really relate to the title. So I think the new title is great. I think it's good.
Oh, thank you.
I really
like. You know, and that book has several titles through you know, Christian and I working on it together. And I would say that's something that happens a lot. You know, the title for a book almost always changes from the time you submit it to a publisher to the time it's actually out there in the world.
And this is called Cure for the Common Universe, and I think I like that title. And the book cover is great.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
It's a fantastic cover.
Thank you. Simon Schuster did some great some really great and innovative covers, and they, you know, they commissioned some original artwork for Christian's book, for Cure for the Common Universe. That's really, really fun and eye-grabbing. So thank you. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, I do too. So what else do you have coming out now? You just had a few other really nice books coming out.
Well, earlier this year, the second novel by two of my clients had their sophomore novels come out. One was The Forbidden Orchid by Sharon Biggs Waller, which is a really beautiful historical novel. It takes place around the turn of the century. It's about this young girl who, her family's about to go to debtor's prison, basically because of her father's death. And so she travels to China to find a rare orchid, which were actually very, very prized possessions in Victorian England. Folks would pay great amounts of money to have these orchids from you know, distant shores. So she sort of goes on this kind of swashbuckling adventure in order to save her family. That's something that I'm really excited about. And then an author of mine, Tommy Wallach, I call them my authors. You know,
well, they are yours.
They're like my brood.
I'm sure they think of you as family.
Tommy Wallach's second novel, Thanks for the Trouble, just came out this year as well. And that's something I'm really excited about, too. Tommy's first book, We All Looked Up, is a New York Times bestseller, and this is his follow-up, which is a really beautiful story about a young guy who is psychosomatically mute. He was in a really violent car accident and can no longer speak. And he meets a girl who claims to be hundreds of years old, who claims to be sort of an immortal. And it's really not so much about whether or not what she claims is true. It sort of examines these themes about, you know, survivor guilt and deciding to live on and to live your life even though you've suffered. So, you know, Tommy has a real flair for examining these really deep, universal issues through a sort of heightened concept like that. So those are two things that have just come out that I'm really excited about. And, you know, and I could go on for an hour about all the stuff that's coming out this year. I don't mean to neglect any of my awesome writers.
You have an amazing client list of, you know, really brilliant writers, and I know that each of them loves you to pieces. I'm sure of that. Now, where can people find you on the, you know, should they go to Folio? Should they just type in your name, John?
Sure. Cusick? So I would say, for, you know, if you're interested in submitting to me, go to Folio Junior. That's Folio, then JR.com. Which is the website for the kids book department at Folio. And there are submission guidelines and sort of case profiles for all the agents at Folio Junior, including myself. And you can click on my picture and see exactly what I'm looking for.
And they can see your smiley face. And they can see...
Yes. You can see my smiling face. You know, you can see how to submit to me there through that website.
Okay, well, John, thank you so much for joining me today. I think you just do a wonderful job with your clients. It's an amazing list of writers, and I want all of my listeners who, and I have so many who are doing young adult, and you're so famous in the business as being one of the one. No, really, you know, when I talk to people, because I was saying I want somebody who's really, you know, at the top doing young adult, and your name always comes up. So I'm just so thrilled.
Thank you so much.
I'm so thrilled that I got to talk to you. So
you too.
Okay, thanks again, John. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Bye bye for now.
Bye.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my next guest, Ashley Royer. Hi, Ashley, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Ashley. Well, I have to tell my listeners that your book, Remember to Forget, came out recently, and it is a fantastic little book.
Thank you.
And the amazing thing is, I mean, first, I almost have to talk to your mother because your mother is terrific, and we have to tell everybody why, because it is what you accomplished here is so amazing, and of course your mother took a big part in it.
Yes,
we have to tell people that it blows my mind. You wrote a book on something called
Wattpad.
And so everybody's asking, what is a Wattpad?
Yeah.
Because it is something new to the whole sort of world of book publishing, and the fact that you went from Wattpad into getting a book deal, I mean, a really great book deal with Blink HarperCollins, is a lovely story. So tell us your story about how you turned Remember to Forget into a book, and you started it secretly, without telling your mommy about it, on Wattpad. So tell us a little bit about Wattpad and how you did this. Mm-hmm.
So I started writing on Wattpad in 2012 when I was 13.
Oh, a baby.
And Wattpad is a site where anyone can write any sort of book or just any sort of writing. They can do, like, poetry. There's millions of different stories on there, and you can do any sort of genre. For me, I was doing fan fiction, which is when you take characters from a band, a movie, another book, a TV show, basically anyone, and you can write a story that's based off of their life or just using their names, and I just used their names. And I was writing on there for 2 years before my mom found out, and I had only told a few of my friends, so no one in my real actual life really knew about it. It was only people online that knew about it. And you can get millions of readers very quickly, or for some people it can take a long time, but for me, I instantly got like 100 reads on my first story within a day, which I didn't expect at all. And then those hundreds turned to thousands and then to millions. Combined, I have around 30 million.
30 million reads.
Yes.
It is so mind-boggling that it's really hard to grasp it. So here you have, you've been writing this book secretly.
Yes, and secretly.
Your mother finds out.
Yes. I started Remember to Forget when I was 15, and my mom found it when I was about halfway through with it, so it wasn't completely done at the time. And she didn't tell me for about a month that she had actually found it. And I was at a concert with my friend, and we were sitting in my room, and my mom said something, and it had absolutely nothing to do with the band that we were seeing, because the band that my book started as a fan fiction off of was 5 Seconds of Summer, and that's who we were seeing in concert. And my mom mentioned something about them, and it was something that happened in Remember to Forget. And my friend knew about it, and we just looked at each other, and we were like, she knows. She definitely knows.
Mummies know everything.
Yeah.
So, from there, we're going to get back to this five sauce after a little while, because people have to hear about this. I happened to know that you were seen running down a street in Boston after a bus, and I'm going to come back to this story. But so your mother finds out you've written a book, and she's like, I think she's impressed, huh?
Mm-hmm. She found it at around 2 a.m. because I make YouTube videos, and someone had commented, congrats on your book. And my mom had no idea what that meant, and she found a link on one of my YouTube comments. And I would try to delete every single comment that related to my book so my mom wouldn't see it. But because it was the middle of the night, I wasn't awake to delete the comments. And so my mom found it, and she got to my page.
Yes, well, mothers roam around at night.
Yes.
All kids should be warned. We're always on the go.
I know. And then about a month later, we went out to dinner, and I kind of knew that she was going to say something about it, and she sat me down and she told me that she thought I should really do something with it. And at the time I was completely against it because I was still so young and I wasn't sure if I wanted to be known as the girl that published a fan fiction. But I'm happy that I got an agent who then got a book deal from HarperCollins. Like, it all worked out perfectly.
Yes, I would say it all worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
And so it, and the thing is, it is a very it's a book on that deals with a very serious subject.
Yes. Yes.
And do you want to just briefly tell us about that?
Yes. So Remember to Forget is about a boy, Levi, who stops speaking after his girlfriend passes away. And because of that, he develops anxiety and depression, and the book follows him through that. And I decided to write about those kinds of topics because I know a lot of my readers can connect to that and relate to it. And the whole reason I started writing was so I could help others through my stories. And every single day I get messages from my readers telling me how much my story has helped them come through their own struggles and deal with their own lives, and that's exactly what I wanted to do. So I'm so happy that I'm able to do that to so many people.
And now we have to say that Levi is you made him an Australian character, right?
Yes.
And now you hadn't traveled to Australia to for research, but I think that there's a certain band that you follow.
Yes, maybe.
Yes, and that's where you got the idea to make him Australian.
Yes, because Levi is on Wattpad. It was Luke Hemmings, who's a member of Five Sauce, but I had to change all of the names because of copyright reasons. So he was based off of Luke Hemmings. Well, not really based. I just used his name.
So it's a in many ways it's a very serious book, but it's also very touching. It's very it's very moving, and as you said, you deal with a very serious subject. And does part of this come through? I know that you're a volunteer at a you do volunteer work, and is this where you've learned your empathy?
I've kind of just always been a very quiet person that observes everything. And I just feel emotions.
Except when you get on YouTube.
Yes, except on YouTube.
Now we put you on YouTube, and you become so bubbly that I was thinking, you know, it's like champagne. That somebody has to bottle you, and then people have to listen to you in the morning, and they'll just have a smile on their face. So,
thank you.
Well, you know, now I have to follow your. It's funny to be following a teenage YouTube star, but it is. You are very funny.
Thank you.
And so we have to talk a little bit about this because I want to know if it is true.
Okay.
Now that, you know, now we're talking about Five Sauce. Mm-hmm. And most people don't know who Five Sauce are.
Yes.
Who are they?
They are a band from Australia that originally started on YouTube, and then they opened up for One Direction, and they've kind of become popular ever since that.
And they were in Boston.
They were. They've been here a couple of times.
And did your mother actually tell you to chase their bus down?
There's actually a few stories that involve my mom and them.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So first, two Decembers ago, they were here for Jingle Ball, which is what the local radio station does around Christmas time. And I knew what hotel they were staying at. So me and my friends all went to the hotel, and there was a crowd of girls. So we went to the crowd of girls, and my mom was also with us, and she had to go to the bathroom, so she was able to get into the hotel. And when I tried to go into the hotel to be with her, security wouldn't let me in, even though I said my mom was in there. They didn't believe me, and they wouldn't let me in. So then, about 20 minutes later, the drummer from 5 Seconds of Summer, Ashton, he walked by, and my mom was sitting in the lobby of the hotel, so my mom met him without me. And then, the past December, they came again for Jingle Ball, and we went in an area that we know the bands have to go through. And so we were standing there, and Five Sauce's crew, I guess you would call them, they know us by now because of all the times, all the concerts we've been to. So we were talking to their crew, and then we turned around, and Ashton and the bassist, Callum, was walking up. And my mom got a selfie with Callum, but I still didn't get a selfie. And they just walked in, and then we went back out after the concert was over, and their bus drove past us and didn't stop. So then my mom was like, girls, you have to run after the bus. Let's go. So we all ran down the street of Boston after the bus, and we had a conversation with them because they were stuck at a red light.
Well, I think your mother has, I see where you get all your spirit from.
Yes.
So, you know, it's so amazing. You're 17 years old. You have a book deal. A book deal. I mean, a real book deal. And you base your character off of some teenage boy you see in a band. It's it's amazing, really.
Thank you.
Do you ever just like say, "Whoa, this is really really amazing"? So, 30 million reads, and how many? And you have like how many followers? You have a lot of followers too.
Yes, I do. On Wattpad, I have 92,000 followers.
92,000 followers.
Yes.
Oh my gosh! Wow. I mean, you're 17 years old. It's amazing. I mean, people, famous writers I know, don't have anything like that.
I know.
And you just. It's amazing.
Thank you.
So I'm sure all of your fans have been very thrilled, you know, with this whole development of you getting a book deal.
They're all super excited and supportive, and I get to meet a lot of them when I go do book signings, and it's so cool to like be able to see the people that I've seen on Twitter for so long and put a face to the name. I love it.
Well, you know, one day at one of these book signings, all four of the Five Sauce guys are going to be in line.
I hope so. I'm going to be at Mohegan Sun when they're doing their concert, and I'm going to have a book signing before their concert, so I'm hoping at least one of them shows up.
Oh, I'm sure they will, because now, I mean, you've helped to make them more famous, I think.
I know.
With this book coming out, I mean, now people who really weren't interested in Five Sauce, I mean, I didn't know them, I'll tell you the truth. I no idea who they were, but then I read the book and I know the characters based on Luke, so now I have to go and listen to their I have to listen to their music.
Yes, you do.
So I mean, this is such a funny story and such a glorious story. And so now you have a sequel coming out to the book. Are you working on it?
I've been working on a sequel for much longer than I anticipated, but because of all of the book things that are happening right now, and I've been traveling a lot, and I just finished my junior year of high school, there's a lot going on, so it's kind of hard to write.
And you've managed to stay on the honor roll?
Yes, I'm ninth in my class.
Well, that's pretty good. And so you, well, we don't have to ask what you're going to be when you grow up. I think we know.
Actually not 100% sure what I want to do when I grow up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You have other ideas besides writing?
This has kind of shifted my path a little bit because I wasn't expecting this to happen. So the past few years I've been focused on maybe doing something with child psychology or child life. And then this happened. And now I don't really know what I want to do. I'm thinking of maybe journalism because I really like doing interviews and being in that sort of atmosphere, and I can see myself doing that, and then also continue writing books, of course, because I love doing that.
Well, with your bubbly personality, really, they should put you on morning television. That's what I suggest. All of those morning television shows are so bleak and depressing that I think if they put you on for a 10-minute segment every morning, it would really get their ratings up.
Oh, thank you.
Because when you get going, you're very funny. You know, so the summer is filled with, you have events, your book tour?
I have a few more signings throughout the summer. I've been doing those since my book came out in April. And now during the summer, I'm more focused on going to 5 Seconds of Summer concerts. I'm going to two next week, and then I have two more after that.
Oh, wow. they're very lucky to have a fan like you, I can tell you.
I'm very dedicated.
Well, you are very dedicated. And I think it's just fantastic that you you know, it's always the bands that become famous, but now the fan becomes famous. And have you appeared on any television shows yet to talk about your book?
I was on the local news, but it was a clip from YouTube that I did for someone else, and they didn't tell me about it, and my mom got a text from one of her friends saying that they saw me on the news, but I never saw myself on it. But
well, I hope they get you on, because I think it's just fantastic. One, it shows that young people can do amazing things. You are an amazing talent, and you really managed to focus yourself, and you know, from just starting with a small writings and build it up and turn it into a book that has been very well received and very nice reviews. And wow, it's, as I said, I think it's, my head can't get around the number of followers you have. I recently talked to a very famous writer. Well known. If I said her name, everybody say, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." And I asked her how many followers she had on Facebook, and she said something like, "Oh, 37." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "Well, I don't know how to do it." I said, "Well, yeah, okay." So I don't know. You are doing something right, and your mother must be. Well, all your family must be very proud of you. That you've done. Accomplished so much, such a short time, and the message also of your book is so very, very good. You know, there are people who have problems. In the case, you know, the serious side of your book, where the you know, the tragedy was the result of a very sad accident that involved texting. And this is a warning that we always want to tell everybody, and to warn people to not text and drive, and
definitely
not. And then they should, you know, read your book. It's a reinforcement of that, plus the idea that things can get better, and you have to work. And I can see your. The side of you, the psychology side of you, where you, your real interest in it, and on so many levels, you're to be commended for your talent, for your insight into young people, and
thank you,
and being able to relate to them, and it's so nice to know how many people that you've already helped, and it's just. Wow, I'm just amazed. And I was telling an author recently, another young author, that I have a rule about authors. When I bring young authors on, that if I really think they're promising, then they have to promise that when their book is made into a movie, you will invite me to the premiere.
Of course.
Okay, because I really believe in you, and I really, you know, I put your picture up on the front of my webpage because I want people to see it. And
thank you.
Where what's your website? Where can people see, read more about you? Tell everybody.
My website is just my name, Ashley Royer, ROYER.com. And then I have a Twitter for my book, which is RTF Book. And then I have a Twitter just for me, which is Sing Song Ash.
And then you have your YouTube. Tell us how to get to your YouTube.
On my YouTube, you can just look up my name, and my channel should pop up.
And I'm telling my listeners, I don't care. I have some listeners who are, you know, like 80 years old. And I really think that, you know, 10 minutes on your YouTube will just put a smile on anybody's face, because they are so cute and so
funny.
And I just I really want to thank you for coming on today. I think you're an amazing, amazing talent. And say hi to your mother for me. And next time I have you, when you have your next book coming out, I want to have your mother on with you. Because I have to talk to any mom who tells her daughter, run after that bus. She has to be a hoot.
She is.
Okay. So thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Ashley Royer. Bye-bye for now. Oh, she's a doll. What a cutie. You have to just check out her YouTube. She does all sorts of silly YouTube things, and it's amazing. She's going to be a real name, I think, in the business, because this little book that she came out with is very, very touching and very, very nice. It's called Remember to Forget, and it's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and it's well worth a read. I think, anybody who can get that many followers can't be too bad. So it's something that all writers, you know, we're talking always about building a platform. And then we're talking about, she didn't build a platform. She built a whole island, for goodness sakes. I mean, how can you get 30 million reads? 30 million times somebody has clicked on her page in Wattpad to read her work. And this, when you think about it, it really does boggle the mind. So I'm really thrilled with that. Okay, well, it is Thursday. Tonight is going to be jazz night at the Miami Avenue Wine Bar, which is located just behind Krabby Bill's, two blocks down behind Krabby Bill's on Indian Rocks Beach. And it's a wonderful place to go on a Thursday night. And then on the weekends, they have dancing. And where else? I mean, there's no place else in town where you can go dancing to really beautiful live music. And it's a lovely environment, beautiful location, and it's called Miami Avenue Wine Bar. And the wines are excellent, and they also have all sorts of other liquors, but the wines, local wines, are fantastic. So you'll really enjoy yourself. So take yourself over there. And meanwhile, I want to tell everyone to go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper. You can see more about Ashley there and about John Cusick. If you have a young adult fiction, really try to get through to John, because he is one of those agents, as he said, he's an editorial literary agent. It means he really steps in there and helps you. So, you know, your book is, you have to have it as well done as possible, but then he goes in and he helps, and he does amazing work, and all of the authors he works with have really had fantastic careers. So that's another thing that you should think about doing. And remember, again, the San Francisco Writers Conference is Writers Conference contest is open, and they are now taking submissions, and it's good to get your submissions in early, because they'll have a lot of readers this summer. So it's a good time for you to get in there. And other than that, just have a nice weekend. It's going to be beautiful here, as usual, here in Florida. And this is Patsy with a Z, wishing you a great week. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. Join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it, and have a great weekend. Bye.